Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're broadcasting this week from the Sleeping in the Garage department. Am I going to get in trouble with my wife, too, or is this
well,
you on your own?
I mean, it's by association, I suppose, and I mean, we don't make this stuff up. We just read it.
Well,
you know,
Berman slipped me a note. On behalf of the entire staff, we want to distance ourselves.
Well, I'll just read you the first one, and you'll know where we're going.
You.
I married Miss Wright. I just didn't know her first name was Always. How about this one? It's going to be cold tonight. Our last fight was my fault. My wife asked me, what's on the TV? I said, dust. How about this? The young son says, is it true, Dad? I heard that in some parts of Africa, a man doesn't know his wife until he marries her. Dad says, that happens in every country, son. The most effective way to remember your wife's birthday is to forget it once.
What? Exactly.
And my personal favorite, we've used this before, but it's worth it again. Why do men die before their wives?
They want to.
By the way, if my wife listened to this show, I'd be dead.
But my wife listens.
Well, that's the idea. Okay. And if you want to read the rest of them, go to our website. There are dozens of them, man, and they are so good.
Okay, well, if you want to reach us next week.
We've alienated a lot of
where
people.
Where will we be next week? We won't be staying at home.
No,
we won't. Well, you won't. But if you want to reach us right now, the number is 888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Kate from Cambridge, Mass.
Kate, Cambridge, Mass. Oh,
how appropriate.
And I just want to go on record as saying those were terrible.
Yeah, thanks, Kate.
No problem.
So, Kate, what's up?
I've got a 95 Honda Civic, and I walked out to it one day, and there was this hair sticking out of the tailpipe, so I pulled on it, and like 5 feet of this matted gray hair came out. And so I think there's an unidentified free object in my muffler.
Well, 5 feet of gray hair.
Yeah.
Well, you know, if you drive around Cambridge, you'll notice there are a lot of guys in Cambridge that don't have much hair in their heads. And I don't think this is well known, but I think Hondas especially suck in so much air.
That they're sucking the hair right off.
They're sucking the hair right off our heads. You know, I've seen this happen one other time. I'd never taken apart a Honda muffler before, but not long ago, someone came into our shop with the same thing. He had enough hair in there to certainly take care of me for the rest of my life. And what it is, it's actually the insulation inside the muffler. The muffler is made up of many chambers. And there is this insulation which looks like human hair.
Yeah.
And as luck would have it, it's kind of salt and pepper looking. You know, it's black and white.
Right.
And it's designed to act as both a heat, I believe, insulator and a sound insulator so that the muffler muffles the sound more efficiently by having this stuff in it. A lot of companies use other things.
So if I ruin my muffler?
Your muffler's already ruined.
Oh,
it is? But does it sound okay?
It got a little louder.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's still muffling.
Yeah.
And you haven't done anything, for example, to get exhaust fumes into your car or anything dangerous that. It just has to do with sound, mostly.
Okay.
And at some point, it'll get very loud.
Okay.
And I suppose there's some small chance the car will catch fire, wouldn't you think?
Well,
I've had that problem before. I don't want it again.
Yeah, I guess we wouldn't
if it
doing
were
our job.
If it were flammable.
No, it's not flammable, but the fact that it's no longer there means that the hot exhaust gases can now get to the outer shell of the muffler.
Okay.
And as such, can heat up the floor of the car more readily.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
So I think that for that reason, I mean, it's only going to be a matter of months before the muffler rots through and you have to change it. I think you ought to change it.
Oh, just get a new one.
Just get a new one.
It's
This is the original muffler because the aftermarket ones don't have the hair. They ask, do you want hair on yours?
You want a bald one?
So I think you should just go to your repair shop.
Okay.
And get yourself a new muffler, and you won't have to worry about anything.
All right.
I wouldn't bother.
Thanks a lot.
I know he wouldn't. See you later. 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hey, guys. This is Oliver from Mill Valley, California.
Hi, Oliver. Oliver, what's cooking, man?
Mill Valley.
Yeah, Mill Valley, just north of San Francisco, across the Golden Gate Bridge.
Oh, we've been there.
You have?
Yeah, we've been there a couple of times. Once when I dragged my brother to see the coastal redwoods.
Oh, yeah?
You know,
Muir
Woods.
I remember it well.
I'm looking at Muir Woods right now.
Yeah, he loved it. He couldn't wait to get out of there.
Oh, I couldn't wait to get there.
And then the other time on the occasion of Doug Berman's wedding, we were in that neck of the woods where we actually were the ministers. Yeah. And we actually performed the ceremony.
We did.
Wow.
State of California has never been the same. Anyway, Oliver, what's on your mind?
Well, I've got kind of a unique situation, which is why I decided to call you. In July of this past year, my 1994 Toyota pickup truck, which at that point had 155,000 miles on it and had survived 7 trips back and forth to Alaska.
Whoa.
And everything was going fine. And I took it in for a big tune-up because it hadn't had one in a while. I just gotten back from Alaska. And the day I pick it up from the mechanic, and he just did $500 worth of work on it, I'm driving it back from Santa Rosa on a hot evening, and my head gasket blows.
Oh.
Yeah. So I've got this friend. Everybody's got one of those friends, right?
Everyone's got one of those
friends. Who's got a torque wrench?
Yeah, well, he's got more than that. He's got all the tools and all the know-how, and I call him for advice on where to take the car, because I'm kind of new here, and I don't know where the mechanics are.
Leave it right where it is. I'll be over tonight.
Is that pretty much it?
Without even soliciting his help, he said, oh, I'll help you fix it.
Sure.
And having not really replaced the head gasket or done much major work on the car, I was like, oh, great. I mean, wonderful. And so he's like, I was like, how long will it take? He's like, oh, maybe a day, probably 2 days. So we get to work on it, and
get the feeling that there's not a happy ending here?
No, there is a happy ending. It's a confusing ending. It's a very, very confusing ending because, well, what turned into 1 or 2 days, as he said, wound up being 8 days because on day 3, he tells me, hey, you know, I've never worked on a Toyota before. And, you know, over the course of 8 days, we had all the pieces pretty much lined out and put it all back together. And at the very end, this is after replacing a few parts that we broke, and including
the head gasket, I hope.
Yeah. We definitely put the head gasket on. And I broke a special tube in the back. I forgot what it was called. It was $103 to replace.
Yeah, the EGR tube, probably.
That's exactly what it was, the EGR tube.
Oh, yeah, I've broken that.
Yeah. And so we're all done, and we've got left over one big bolt. And we searched and we looked.
How big a bolt?
Well, I'm holding it right here in my hands right now.
How long is it?
It's about an inch long.
An inch long?
Oh, yeah. An inch. And it's very fat?
Yeah, it's probably 14 millimeter.
The head on it. Oh, the shaft is 14 millimeters?
No, the head. I'm sorry.
The head is 14 millimeters.
Yeah.
And you haven't started the engine yet.
Well, no. Okay, here's where it gets interesting.
I bet it does.
It's interesting already. Really interesting.
This was in July. The truck's been running great, better than it ever has.
Without that bolt.
Without the bolt. How concerned should I be? Should I take it into a professional and have them look at it and put it back?
You're looking at this bolt. Is it black?
It was originally looked like bronze.
But does it have any rust on it?
No.
Okay, so I'm guessing it was under the valve cover. Can you distinguish between fine thread and coarse thread?
It's probably right in between fine and coarse.
Medium coarse.
Yeah.
Yeah. Here's my fear, but I don't know why the thing would run.
Yeah.
That it's the bolt that holds the camshaft sprocket.
No, we put that one back.
You sure?
I'm more positive on that one.
Well, I'm just trying to visualize. You've got all the head bolts, which clearly are much longer than this.
Yeah.
And you wouldn't have run this
long.
It
looks like one of the ones that would have held the
Manifold on.
The manifold, yeah. But we checked all of them like 10 times, and they were all there.
All right.
No, when you bought the new tube for the EGR, I think that has what's called a banjo bolt.
Uh-huh.
And I think that's the piece you have left over.
Uh-huh.
And it goes, you must have gotten a new one and you didn't realize it.
And you used it.
The new one.
You used the new one and that's
so you have the banjo bolt left over from the new EGR tube. Yeah, I think you ought to bronze it, but you don't have to.
Well, I've been keeping it in my ashtray for good luck.
Oh, you should keep it. You'll need it one of these days.
No, I mean, the fact that it has run so well, and I trust it runs well.
Oh, it runs great.
For so long
without
this bolt means that you had to have replaced it without realizing you replaced it.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that would be the logical explanation.
Now, so you can go and look now. You can open the hood. And you can find the other end of the EGR tube and see if, in fact, there's a bolt there that resembles the one you have in your hand.
Right.
Well, the other thing you can do is go back to the store where you bought the EGR tube and ask for another one and see if it comes.
See if it comes with a bolt.
With a bolt.
Yeah.
If it does, you say, yippee, and you leave it there.
Good luck, Oliver.
Okay, thanks, guys.
I don't think you're going to need any luck. I think you're good to go.
I think so, too.
My parents are going to be really glad to hear that because they're pretty worried.
I'm sure they were. See you later, man.
Okay, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
888-888. That is frightening, though. not a bolt left over.
Especially a big one. It's all right if it's something a little teeny. You say, it's probably holding on a piece of sheet metal.
By the same token, remember how many parts we had left over when we did my Renault Dauphine?
Oh, yeah, but I didn't care because I wasn't driving it. But it ran?
It ran.
Yeah.
But it used to burst into flame all the time.
That was another issue altogether.
That was another issue, right.
888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, my name is London. I'm calling from Montezuma, Colorado.
London?
Yes.
Like the bridge?
Like the bridge.
You're calling from the kindergarten or what?
I'm in a bar right now.
a little early to be in the bar, isn't it?
I'm working. It's at a ski resort. They open so early here. It's ridiculous. So I just stepped out of there. Can you hear me better now?
Yeah, that's good.
So how did you wind up with a name like London?
My mother, she just grew up with a girl named London. So I'm kind of named after her. It's not an exotic, exciting story.
Well, I'm going to suggest that you change it to the Italian name for London, which is Londra.
Londra. I have Italian friends, and they call me Londra.
Londra. Yeah, that's much more exotic and mysterious.
It really is.
No, it sounds a little bit too much like Laundry.
That's the male name.
Laundra Matt. No, I don't like it.
All right, London.
I haven't heard that one before. That's a good one.
So what's up?
Well, I'm calling Mike. I have a 91 Toyota 4Runner, and it was purchased with what I believe it came with an oil leak. And so I would check the oil every day, and sometimes no problem at all. Other times, like, oh, my God, I had to add 2 quarts to it. And then one day, I had to add 3 quarts to it, and it kind of happened out of nowhere. And ever since then, it's kind of made this noise, which I used to say it like this. It was kind of like, get it. That's the engine. But now I kind of say it's more like that.
Oh.
And, yeah, I know. And I have friends that are men that will ride in my car and go, one day you're just going to be driving and it's going to go, boom, that'll be it. I'm afraid to take it to my mechanic because he helped me pick it out. And he's just going to be very upset with me. And I want to know if I should just run away from the car and sell it in the condition it's in.
You didn't buy this thing new. You bought it secondhand.
Yeah, secondhand. It was a 91. I bought it 2 years ago. But with really low miles, great condition. My mechanic was just like, you must get this car.
How many miles are on it now?
About 130,000.
And it was in great condition but it isn't now.
No. And I really do think it came with some kind of an oil leak that no one really caught. Because, I mean, it would just be really low on oil out of nowhere, you know?
But how much oil does it use in a month, say?
5 quarts.
5 quarts in a month?
5 to 6, right around there.
And in that month, how many miles might you have driven?
2,000, I'd say, right around there.
That's not bad.
No?
Well, it's burning oil.
Yeah, but I don't have this big plume of horrible smoke behind me.
No, you won't get that plume until the rate gets much worse.
Okay.
Yeah, then you'll get more than the plume.
Yeah. Okay. I drive down a street and people turn and look at me as I'm coming because it's so, like, reverberating.
Noise.
Now, tell us about the noise.
Oh, the noise. You're not going to like this, London.
Yeah.
What do you do at this bar? Are you
Well, actually, I have a little espresso bar at a ski resort, and it's just right next to the bar. It's near there.
So people come off the slopes and you...
I make espressos and smoothies and... ice cream and all that good stuff.
You know how to make an espresso macchiato?
Yes. Oh, yes.
Of course.
Oh.
Come on.
Hey, all right.
Small blob of foamed milk.
Exactly. I'll be there.
I'm crazy about coffee.
Mail him one, will you? Shut him up.
I really am. I'm obsessive.
Well, here's what happened to your engine.
Okay.
When you ran out of oil that time that it needed 3 quarts,
yeah,
you collapsed a hydraulic lifter.
Okay.
And I don't know how to put this delicately. The end is in sight. Yeah, you're going to do something soon.
Yeah.
If you're continuing to drive it at the rate you say you're driving, which is a couple of thousand miles a month, you're going to get stuck someplace, I think.
Yeah.
So you've got to make a decision to put either a rebuilt engine in this thing,
mm-hmm,
or to get rid of it.
Okay.
But if the thing is in really great shape, you know, if the front end's good, the tires are good, the brakes are good, and whatnot, and your mechanic can in fact guarantee you that all that stuff is in good shape, then I would go ahead and put an engine in it.
Okay.
He may have a handle on an engine.
Yeah.
You know, he may know the owners of the junkyard and say, look, next time you get one of these 4Runners, call me. Mm-hmm. I mean, you don't have to do anything tomorrow.
Yeah.
But you should plan on doing something in the next month or two.
Okay.
And you got to encourage people to buy the larger sizes.
Of coffee.
Yeah.
Coffee.
Thank you for that tip.
Yeah, you need a special.
I'll put a little can next to the register.
Engine fund.
Make a donation to my Toyota engine.
Okay, I'll do that.
People will feel empathy.
Because if the car doesn't run, then they don't get coffee.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Good luck, Londra.
Thank you very much.
Matt, see you later.
Bye-bye.
Okay, look, it's time for your weekly puzzler hint.
All right, give it to me. I am ready for a hint.
Okay, ready? The hint is 10 inches is not always longer than 6 inches, grasshopper.
Huh? Let me see what's in that coffee cup.
We'll be back with the puzzler answer in just a minute.
Get in the car and go idling in the sun. Get in the car and go idling in the sun. The tires really peel when it gets real hot. The fast lane's looking like a parking lot. Let's get in the car and go idling in the sun.
And even though 9 out of 10 listeners say they'd rather listen to an hour of fingernails on a chalkboard whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR. Hey, if you'd like to hear more car talk.
Yeah, like if you're a dentist and want to remind your patients there are things more painful than a root canal.
You can download hundreds of classic car talk shows.
And by classic, we mean
old. Previously aired.
Exactly.
<you know.
laughs> Just go to cartalk.com and click where it says listen to the show. Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to talk about cars, car repair, but first, the answer to last week's puzzle.
And a good one it was.
You didn't think so last week.
I did.
This is from our exhaustive series of insect puzzlers.
entomology division?
Yes, indeed. And here it is. 2 grasshoppers are hanging around, or maybe jumping around one day, and each is boasting that he is faster than the other one. To settle the argument, they decide, of course, to have a race. The larger of the grasshoppers, Throckmorton, or Throcky,
as he's known, as they call it,
can jump 10 inches at us in a single bound. The other grasshopper, Rocky, can only jump 6 inches at a shot. So the larger grasshopper says, we're going to set up a race course that's 24 feet long, 12 feet out and 12 feet back.
Yeah.
So they're each at the starting point. Vinny Gumbatshopper shoots the gun, and they take off. Now, even though Throcky, the bigger guy, can jump 10 inches at a shot, the little guy, Rocky, jumps more often. So when they get to the 5-foot mark, for example, which is 60 inches, the big guy has jumped 6 times 10, and the little guy has jumped 10 times, but they're dead even, neck and neck, antenna to antenna.
Wow.
The question is, which one wins the race and why?
Yeah.
Well, unfortunately for Throcky.
Yeah. This was immediately apparent. This was a very easy puzzle.
Well, you got to give an easy one once in a while.
Even I got it.
Berman worked on it, and he got it, too.
He cheated. How can you tell who won?
Because the course is 12 feet or 144 inches.
Yeah.
The little guy
jumping
6 inches at a shot.
Yeah.
Admittedly, they're even at 5 feet, and they're even at 10 feet, too. But when they get to 12 feet, trouble breaks out. Mm. Because the little guy happens to land right on the turnaround point.
Exactly.
With 24 jumps.
Yeah.
After 14 jumps.
Throcky. Gone over.
Is it 140 inches? And his and his next jump brings him to, he has to make a 10-inch jump.
Yeah, he can't make little jumps.
No, he doesn't know how. Brings him to 150 inches from which he can never recover.
Sure.
So the little guy, as you suspected, wins the race. Do we have a winner?
The winner this week is Beverly Levine from Greensboro, North Carolina. And for having her answer selected at random from among the pile of correct answers that we got, Beverly's going to get a $26 gift certificate to the Shameless Commerce Division at CarTalk.com, with which Beverly can get a copy of our 4-CD set called Car Talk's Field Guide to the North American Wacko.
Now, these are some of our favorite shows of all time, with callers such as Dinesh, who planned to walk across Death Valley and sleep under his car to cool off.
Never forget him. Well, he certainly qualifies as a North American Wacko.
And there's also our good pal Dave from Bemidji.
Wow.
Who managed to fix his car with a grill from a National Park Service rustic barbecue pit. We've got some beauties here, I tell you,
folks.
Beauties.
You ain't kidding.
Anyway, we'll have a brand new, I guess we'd have to call it a mathematical puzzler.
I love them.
Coming up in the third half of the show today. So stick around for that. It's a doozy. A doozy. It's also folkloric and historic and all that. It's got everything. It's got a little bit of everything.
Wow. Don't they all?
Misinformation, you name it.
Obfuscation, misinformation.
Anyway, if you have a question about your car right now or anything else you want to know about or to be misinformed about, you can call us. The number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Andrew from Groton.
Hi, Andrew. Groton, Mass?
You bet.
Cool.
Where is that?
It's in Never Never Land, halfway between Fitchburg and Lowell.
My recollection
two big towns right
away.
I
went to a place once called the Groton Inn. And my recollection, I don't remember what I ate, but I remember being bitten by a dog. That's all I remember.
So you never went
back. Didn't pay the check even.
How far away from Groton do you work, Andrew?
I work in Groton in my home.
Bless your heart.
Good for you.
Yeah. Okay, so what's up?
Well, I have a 1995 Subaru Legacy station wagon, and this time of year, with all the salt and sand on the roads, the rear windshield gets really dirty frequently. So I make a lot of use of the rear windshield washer, but it squirts up from the bottom of the windshield. And when it squirts up, it only reaches about halfway up the glass, and only the bottom half of the windshield gets cleaned.
Yeah.
Is there any way to boost the pump and make it squirt more forcefully so it...
Well, is it
higher?
A matter of force? I mean, when you squirt, does it hit the windshield too soon? And if it didn't, would it go up higher? Or does it just not have enough oomph
That's a good question. I hadn't thought of the trajectory issue.
The trajectory is adjustable.
Right.
Ah.
And you adjust it. When you do it, I mean, just go take a look at it. This is not rocket science at all. You go
good,
take a look.
I'm not a rocket scientist.
Well, you know that. You wouldn't be working at home. Unless you were Robert Goddard. He was the only rocket scientist I knew who worked at home.
That's right. And you know where he was from?
He was from Worcester.
He was from Groton, Massachusetts.
Pretty close.
Funny you should bring him up.
Well, anyway, yeah, you may be able to adjust the aim.
Aha, okay.
But I don't know if you can. I know the front nozzles on almost all cars are aimable.
Amiable?
And that too. You may not be able to read. Let's assume that you can't.
Okay.
Yeah, if you can, here's what it is. You'll see the little nozzle. You stick a pin in it, and it'll move back, forth,
it, you know, it looks
left,
like, it looks
right.
Like an eyeball.
Yeah.
Okay.
And if that's it, then you're done.
But let's assume that it's not adjustable. I like it. I got it. Here's what you do. No. I was gonna suggest rapidly moving backwards.
Slamming on the brakes.
No, but that isn't going to work.
No, well, here's what I would do.
That does raise the question, though, of does it matter if I'm moving or not? If I'm on a highway and there's airflow over the top, would the airflow impede the movement of the water.
Yeah,
the
I don't know.
Airflow, as from my knowledge of airflow, which is vast, or is it half vast?
I think it's half. Yeah, half.
From my knowledge of airflow, there would be a tendency if the nozzle was pointed high on the back window.
Mm-hmm.
So aimed you were, high.
Aimed high, and you were driving along at a good clip, the forces of air would tend to make it hit the window lower.
Mm-hmm.
Because you may well find that if you do it in your driveway, it hits higher.
Should I wait or should I do it
Do you
now?
Want to jump right in?
Bogus. Well, I don't know if that...
There's no question about it. Here's why.
No, see, you were all right. Just throw out the theory. The explanation is what's going to sink you. Yeah. Because you're going to use...
Have you ever stood in the back of a truck?
Of course.
It was open.
Of course.
And?
My hair blows forward.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Yeah.
The wind is blowing forward.
It's blowing forward.
So it's going to push the little stream of water forward too fast.
So it's going to hit lower on the window.
It's going to hit lower on the window.
It may be.
That's the same principle that makes the windshield get so dirty to begin with.
I can't believe that we've dedicated 5.5 minutes to this conversation. No, in fact, reason the window gets so dirty is that debris flying up from your tires
is getting blown onto the window.
Gets pushed onto the glass.
Right. Now, sure, man.
Now that we understand that, here's what I recommend.
Okay. Go ahead.
Pinch the hose that leads to the nozzle.
Ooh, why would you want to do that?
Increase the pressure. You'll get less flow, but you'll get more pressure.
And it'll shoot up higher.
Right, it's like putting your thumb on the garden hose, you know.
Mm-hmm, sure.
It's trickling out, and you reduce the flow tremendously, and you get a spray that goes 20 feet.
See, at least.
So I can spray my wife while she's in the chiz lounge.
Now, do you sell a special hose clamp at car junk?
No, but we will now.
No, but you can get those, in fact, at, what do you call them, pet supply stores
for fish tanks.
Oh, okay.
By the way, I'm all set to do a whole rant on the state of modern windshield washers.
Yeah.
And I realize that many cars, in an effort to one-up the other guy, and I've noticed that on high-end cars, you hit the windshield washer and you have a deluge on the windshield, the purpose of which is to clean the windshield as efficiently as possible, obviously. However, when you do that, you, as the driver, you can't see a thing. Remember the old days when you get that feeble little stream and you had to do it 10 times to clean the windshield? At least you were able to still see out the window.
While it was being cleaned.
But these modern ones, you press that button and it's like someone opens a fire hose. It's dangerous. It's unnecessary.
I tell you, someone sent us an email and said that the real reason and the real benefit of having that tremendous power is for guys who are tailgating you.
Oh, you blast them.
Oh, right.
Right, especially when you have two little nozzles shooting up. You take one of those nozzles and you direct it over the top. So when this guy pulls up behind you and starts flashing his lights and blowing his horn, you turn on your windshield washer and you soak the jerk. Soak the jerk.
Jeez. Oh.
They're all
Andrew,
jerks.
I feel better now. But
well, you know, as frivolous as this call may have seemed.
Right, it opened up.
I beg your pardon.
Well, it wasn't cream rinse.
It wasn't cream rinse, that's for sure.
I mean, it was admittedly, it was not the end of the world here. We were talking about a little nozzle. But it's been wonderful talking to you, Andrew.
Well, right, and in explaining to you
likewise.
The remedies, we have probably violated every physics principle known to it. It was science. But
well, I'm proud that we learned so much from ourselves. I didn't know we knew anything about this subject.
Good luck, Andrew.
Thanks.
See you later.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
It's
that
amazing.
Was almost as good as the cattle car thing.
No, better. 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Joyce from Ellicott City, Maryland.
Hi, Joyce. Ellicott City?
Yes.
How do you spell it?
E-L-I-C-O-T-T?
Two L's.
I thought so. What's going on, Joyce?
Well, my question is really a driving slash relationship question. Oh, I'm married to this wonderful man. He's really calm and focused and such a gentle person. In fact, he even teaches meditation to other people. But when he gets behind the wheel of a car, he turns into, not quite a jerk. He turns into sort of Mario Andretti meets Tony Soprano.
Wow, really?
Yes. And when you were describing to the last caller about riding the tail and blinking the lights, that's my husband.
It is?
And he teaches
meditation.
Meditation.
Yes.
You know, I've been struggling, as you may know, for many, many years to understand the people who do this.
Meditate?
The people who pull up behind someone else and stop blowing the horn and flashing the lights. I mean, your husband sounds like the kind of guy who would never do the analogous thing if he were walking.
That's right. That's absolutely right.
I mean, if he were walking down the street and a little old lady was walking in front of him, would he whack her over the head and push her onto the curb?
No, but you know what? He wants to.
Maybe he does.
He wants to.
I can't believe that. I mean, I will try to be delicate here, but your husband is a jerk.
But he's not a jerk. It's only when he drives a car.
I know. What is it about the car that turns people in? If for no other reason we should ban the use of cars, except, I mean.
Well, think how much information it gives us about human nature.
It's terrible. I don't want to know that.
Well, I'll tell you, I've found out a lot about people over the 29 years or so that we've been fixing cars at the shop.
Yeah.
You learn a lot about human nature when you give someone a $700 repair.
And he doesn't kill you.
No, you really. Oh, when you disappoint
especially
people.
Especially when it's to adjust the windshield washers with the pin. Special tools required.
But when you tell someone, for example, that their car is not going to be ready, I mean, how that person reacts to that information, or when you call someone to say, look, we discovered another problem and it's going to be X number of dollars, you know, in addition to the $12,000 we already told you. It's interesting to find out how people react to that information, and it tells you a lot about who they are.
And
I've determined that about half the people are jerks.
My husband would be fine if you called him and told him that his car would be 2 days late. Or he would be very calm about
it's
that.
It's only the driving that causes him to go crazy.
Yeah.
Huh?
Now, what if you drive instead of him?
Well, he hates it when I drive or anyone else drives.
Yeah.
And he's very critical and, you know, tells me what to do and move over here and they're not going fast enough and get in this lane.
Uh-huh.
Do you think it's a gender thing, a guy thing?
Well, I mean, there's more of it in guys, but everything has gotten so much worse in the past decade or two because the women have joined the forces of the evil side.
Not all the women, but enough of them are shifting sides.
Enough of them that it's no longer 50% who are crazy drivers. It's 50% plus half the women.
Well, 75%. I'll tell you, I have left the dark side.
You have?
Yeah.
You no longer tailgate?
No.
You no longer blow the horn?
Never.
And why did you do that?
I left the dark side because I realized there's no place I wanted to go in that much of a hurry.
I have to say that I have given up.
You wearing sweatpants?
I'm going to wear sweatpants every day because I think it's hopeless.
Well, Joyce,
guys like Joyce's husband, whose name is Frank. Frank?
Yeah, good. Frank's good.
Frank's good.
Let's call him Frank, yeah.
Well, have you confronted him with this?
Oh, absolutely. And I have friends who won't drive with him because it's so scary. Everybody's told him.
Man, I don't know what to do about it, Joyce.
I don't. I don't either. But he has to resolve this because this is incongruous with who he is.
Absolutely.
Or as my brother says, it's who he really is.
Ooh.
Yeah. Well,
and that would be pretty sad.
You know, there's a famous Latin expression that says "in vino veritas."
Yeah.
And you might have to get him plastered some night to find out who he really is. I suspect, even though you may not think so, that Frank has way too much stress in his life.
Ah, probably true.
And he's got to get rid of it somewhere. So that's the vent.
Yeah. You're probably right.
Yeah, he needs to do something else.
I think it's scream therapy we're going to recommend for
Frank. Oh, that sounds like a good idea.
Scream therapy.
Maybe.
Okay, well, we'll try that and see if it helps.
Now, keep us posted, Joyce, because...
And if anyone has any theories about this, really, I would love you to tell me what they are, especially someone who knows something about people.
Or if anyone can explain to us the unusual physics behind rear windshield washers, we'd like to be informed.
We'd like to hear
about that, too. So, Joyce, we love you. Thanks for calling and good luck.
Good luck.
Bye. Thanks. Bye.
All right, look. It's that time of the show again.
Oh, is this the part where the old lady with the tea cart comes by and offers us, like, the digestive biscuits? The elevensies, as we call it in London?
No, yeah. This is where we run out to the kitchen, accidentally break the coffee machine, put up a quick note that says, sorry I broke this, sign it Scott Simon, and then dash back in here in time for the puzzler.
Let's go. We'll be back with a new puzzler in just a minute.
She drove a 63 Corvette like I always wanted to get.
And even though Facebook automatically asks our friends, are you sure you still want to do this? Whenever we say it, this is NPR.
Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. And we're here to discuss cars, car repair, and the new puzzler. And as I promised, this is going to be mathematical and historic.
Mathematical,
and
folkloric, historic, and everything else.
Are you ready?
Go, man.
Take yourself back in time. To California, the Gold Rush, 1849. This is a dream sequence.
Okay, it's 1849, yeah.
Yeah, you're in California, you're prospecting for gold, and you've had a pretty good run of luck.
Yeah.
You know, you've been working the hills for weeks and weeks and weeks, and you've got mm-hmm. yourself a pretty good stash of gold.
Mm-hmm.
So you decide it's time to clean up and go into the big city and celebrate a little bit. So you do just that. You go and you hit a few saloons and you're living it up like Don King. And
yeah,
one late afternoon, you stumble out of one of the saloons, having spent most of your money on women and wine, and you're about to squander the rest. And you hear someone call out to you.
Tommy. Tommy. Yeah?
And from the inky shadows emerges a well-dressed gentleman.
Yeah.
And he proposes a game of chance. He said, I know, he said, you've been prospecting and you've probably done pretty well. And I can tell you're a gambling man. If you weren't a gambling man, you wouldn't have come out here a prospecting. He said, and I have a little game of chance that you may be interested in. You can make some money here if you're willing to take a chance.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I have with me here this little silk bag. And in it are three cards. And he pulls out the three cards. One of them is green on both sides. Another one is red on both sides. And the third one is, as you might expect, red on one side and green on the other.
I didn't expect that.
You didn't expect that?
I thought it was white on both sides. Then it would have been the Italian flag.
He says, I'm going to allow you to inspect the little bag here and to put the cards inside. And then I will let you pull one of the cards out without looking at it, obviously. And you will place it face down on this little table I have in front of
us. How would you know what face down is?
You'll place it down. You'll put it on the table without revealing
what's on the bottom.
What's on the bottom of the card.
Right. So you'll only be able to see one side of the card.
So you and I will be able to see one side of the card.
Got it.
Okay. And either that side will be red or green.
Was this guy the predecessor of the guys that played three-card Monty in Washington Square?
This guy was Monty.
Okay. Just checking.
So you're with me so far?
I'm with you, yeah.
So you reach into the bag. You obviously can't see the other cards, but you reach in, you deftly pull out one card, slide it out of the little silk bag, and put it on the table. And let's say that you can see a red face, okay? The con mm-hmm. man says to you, I'll bet you even money that the other side of the card is also red.
Hmm.
Huh? You say. And the question is, should you take the bet?
Should you take the bet?
And you can play the game over and over again, and the question very simply is, should you? Now, if you think mm-hmm. you know the answer, write it on a postcard or the back of a $26 bill and send it to Puzzler Tower, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our fair city.
Matt 02238, or you can email your answer to us from cartalk.com. But if you'd like to call us right now, and I'm sure you would, the number is 888-CAR-TALK. Don't be shy. We have plenty of lines open, too. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, my name is Achala Chatterjee.
Oh, wait.
Wow. You have to spell it.
Okay, my name is Achala, A-C-H-A-L-A.
C-H-A-C-H-A-L-A.
I got that.
Last name is Chatterjee, C-H-A-T-T-E-R-G-A-E-E. Right, like in Chatterbox.
I know Chatterjee. Achala Chatterjee. Excellent.
Achala.
Achala.
Wonderful name.
Thank you. I called because I thought I could meet Arup Gupta.
Well, Achala's pretty nice.
Achala Chatterjee is pretty good.
Yeah. Thank you.
He's very nice.
And where are you from, Achala?
I'm from two places. I work in Huntsville, Alabama.
Yeah.
But my husband lives in Riverside, California.
That's interesting.
Really?
Yeah.
And do you find that this cuts down on marital squabbles?
It sure does. It sure does help.
But how do you manage?
Is he in some kind of federal penitentiary? Or you say he's working. What is he doing, making license plates?
No, I work for the Army.
He works for the Army.
No, I work
for the Army. You work for the Army.
I work for the Army.
So your actual home is Riverside, California.
Well, kind of.
So you're engaged in, like, biological warfare things in
Huntsville. No, we're not.
No?
We make missiles in Huntsville.
Oh, missiles. Oh, that's all right. Yeah, anyway, I'm sure you called with some serious automotive problem.
I have a 95 Toyota Avalon.
Yeah. Nice car.
And it's a real nice car, but my husband gets to use it because it's in Riverside, California.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we have a house in Riverside, California, too, mm-hmm. that has a real steep driveway.
Yeah.
So when we leave the garage and go up the driveway, the bottom of the car kind of scrapes on the driveway.
Yeah.
And my husband has perfected this, kind of semi-perfected a technique where he'll make a sharp right turn right at the top.
Yeah.
And then about 90% of the time, he doesn't scrape it. I almost always scrape it at the bottom.
Yeah.
Well, eventually, what's being scraped will get scraped off.
It will be gone.
It won't hit anymore. I mean, what could be hitting? There's not much back there. The muffler, the tailpipe. It's part of the exhaust system that's hitting, or maybe even the bumper.
It's the exhaust system that's hitting, I think.
Don't even worry about it.
Not worry about it?
Yeah.
I thought I could put a bigger tire on it or put something that'll make my car rise up or something.
Jeez. I mean, first of all, you really shouldn't worry about it. But if you are concerned about it, I would have one person stand at the end of the driveway while the other person backs the car up so you can precisely determine what it is that's hitting.
Okay.
And then take a hammer and put a professional-type dent into this thing so that it will no longer hit and then forget about it completely.
Well, it may be that a large part of the muffler is hitting, in which case you've got to do something.
Well, if it's a really steep thing, I would think that something at the very back of the car is what's hitting, and the thing that's the most furthest is the furthest back in the car is the end of the tailpipe. And then hardly worth
But
mentioning.
That's not the piece closest to the ground. The tailpipe was out of the middle of the muffler. The piece closest to the ground is the body of the muffler itself, and that's what's hitting. You can try to cave that in with some scientific blows.
Would that affect working of the muffler?
Not really. I mean, you're doing that anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Isn't
I mean,
there something less drastic?
Well, you know, back in the old days when cars had, like, normal suspensions, you could put in load leveler shocks, which had an extra coil spring, and you could raise the butt end up. You could put in air shocks. You could put in what are those dubers that we used to stick in the springs when the springs were collapsed?
Yeah.
Spring savers or whatever.
Spacers.
Spacers.
Yeah.
But you can't do any of that to this car, really.
No. I mean, you could put a larger tire on it.
That's your only hope.
But it won't. Yeah, but then the tires will probably start hitting the fender well.
So here's the solution. Why we're talking about
I got it.
We're talking about smashing in the car.
You're going to smash in the driveway.
Beat up the driveway.
Exactly what I just concluded.
Yeah.
Get a sledgehammer.
Find out that spot in the driveway that's constantly being hit, and you've got to make a little gully there.
Driving my car, my neighbor would be mad at me.
What? You'd be your driveway.
The driveway. No.
Oh, you share the driveway?
Share the
driveway.
Share
the driveway.
Oh, you'll have to do it at night. Yeah, whenever there's a risk of ticking off a neighbor, you always have to do it in
well,
the cover of darkness.
Another thing you could do is you could put a little ramp back there so that the tires go up on the ramp on the way out. And therefore, whatever is hitting won't hit anymore because it'll be higher. I like this idea.
So I buy some ramps to put on the driveway.
We need a picture of the driveway.
Okay, I'll send it to you.
Yeah.
I'll send you the
and
picture
preferably
of the
a picture with the car just hitting. A close-up of the of whatever it is that's hitting, and we'll come back with a detailed drawing explaining how to fix it.
Okay, I'll do that.
This is a new service that we provide here on the show as of...
We don't know what to call
like,
it yet, but
right now.
We're providing it.
Okay, I'll mail those to you as soon as I get to Riverside
okay.
this weekend.
See you, Achula.
All right, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Achula Chatterjee. Beautiful. Wow.
1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
My name is Matthew. I'm 14 years old, and I'm from Savannah, Georgia.
Hi, Matthew. Savannah?
Yes.
Well, you haven't been any place probably, but is Savannah, I haven't been there. Is it a wonderful city?
It is a nice city. It is. It's a very nice city.
Yeah. Well, I don't know much about Savannah, but I have always, it's always been an attraction
mm-hmm.
to me.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly, I guess, because of the architecture of the buildings.
Right, that antebellum architecture.
The antebellum, yeah. I love that antebellum stuff.
Yeah. Uncle Bellum did a pretty good job, too, but Auntie did most of the heavy-duty work.
And it's mostly warm, right, in Savannah?
Yeah, it is. I mean, and in the winter, we have our few brutal cold days, but, yeah, it's mostly warm year-round.
And I have one other question. Are there two N's in Savannah?
Yes, there are. Yes.
Okay, I thought so.
All right, Matt, we've badgered you enough. What's on your mind?
Okay, like I said, I'm 14, and I've got the wonderful job of cleaning my parents' car. I'm washing, I mean, the outside of it.
What did you do wrong?
Well, I don't know. That's what I need
to do. What do you mean, what did he do wrong? They give him a roof over his head. They give him 3 squares a day, if not 6. I mean, they give him, put the clothes on his back. And they say, Matt, how about you, like, wash the car, like, once a month? And we'll give you this $10,000 worth of food every day.
Well, it's amazing how selective one's memory could be.
Yeah.
I asked my parents how forthcoming I was regarding chores when I was a teenager. Because my kids, what's the word? Never did squat. Have never done squat.
Yeah, in any event.
Well, when I asked Mom and Dad about this, they said that I didn't do squat either. But I don't remember that.
All right, so they ask you to wash the car once
in
a while.
They have a 96 Plymouth Grand Voyager.
Yeah.
When I wash it, round water marks are left on the windows. The windows are the worst.
Yeah.
Especially the side view mirrors.
Yeah.
I cannot wash those little water
minute,
marks
Matt.
Off.
Maybe there's some problem with the definition of the word wash.
Oh, no, yeah.
Yeah.
So that's what my parents thought. But, I mean, they've got out there and helped me. And I'm washing, scrubbing.
So, I mean, do you use soap?
Yes, I use car soap.
Okay, so you don't just hose it down.
No.
He's using the genuine.
Do you own the following? A chamois.
Yes.
Bless your heart.
Do you own a chihuahua, though? That's the real question.
What's a chihuahua?
I don't know, but I see it advertised on television. It's a chamois on a stick.
A chamois's good. And do you own a squeegee?
Well, yes, I do own one, but I've never used it.
Yeah, well, you got to use that. That will get rid of all the droplets on the windows. Trouble is, it's not small enough to get onto the rearview mirrors.
Right. So you're telling me all this scrubbing in the windows is not going to help, but the squeegee will do it for me?
Oh, yeah. The squeegee is the answer. Squeegees are great.
All right, but what about the side view mirrors?
The side view mirrors, I would use a piece of newspaper.
Cover them up?
And Windex.
Okay.
I mean, are they on your case about this, Matt? Or is it, you know,
no,
I mean, you're doing your level best.
No, it's becoming a personal frustration.
Yeah,
I think,
okay.
I sit out there and I wash the car and it looks awful. I mean, it's not that bright, shiny that everybody else is on my street is.
So they haven't actually complained about this?
No, I mean, they know that I'm working and...
Yeah.
They want to know the answer, too.
All right, let me let you in on a little man secret here, Matt.
Okay.
You're only a 14-year-old kid and you need a little advice from...
A little manly advice.
Manly advice. When you get older, you'll probably meet some wonderful woman, and you'll probably fall in love, and you'll be married to her.
Right.
And she, too, will ask you to do things like wash the car, wash the windows, do something around the house, fix things.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to learn right now that you have to screw up everything. Because if you do it right, she's going to ask you to do it again.
or worse than that, ask you to do more stuff.
Or more things.
Figure that you're competent. You have to demonstrate incompetence.
Incompetence.
Right from the get-go.
Marital
smart about
incompetence.
It.
And you and little by little, they will come to understand that you cannot really do anything right. Ask you to wipe the dishes, you drop one out of three. They break on the floor. She says, I'm never going to ask you to help me do the dishes again.
Hey, smart.
Huh? Laundry.
Yeah, mix all the colors
all
together.
All the colors together and throw in 2 cups of bleach.
Right.
And make sure you do this every single time, and you will never go near a washing machine
And be
again.
Very apologetic and show a willingness to learn.
Yeah.
But,
oh, honey,
an inability
I'm so
to learn,
sorry.
Nonetheless.
Yeah. So
that's the best advice we can give you, Matt.
Yeah, I mean, you're on the road here. I forget the advice about the squeegee. I never said that. Just continue doing what you're doing and get as many of these little droplets to dry up on there. And I would try, do you have a wire brush?
No.
You know, well, buy one. Go down to the hardware store. Okay. You can buy a wire brush with a nice long handle on it. Mm-hmm. And for those pesky spots on the fender.
Wire brush.
Wire brush them.
Or you can use Brillo.
And you won't. Brillo's good, too. And you won't have to be doing this job much longer.
Yeah. I mean, on a serious note, you might try adding a few drops of dishwashing liquid.
Yes.
Okay.
Like ivory liquid or one of those things,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because that makes things sheet.
Exactly.
Right.
And it might eliminate the spots.
Okay.
There you go. Good luck, Matthew.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Hope they let you out of your room after all this.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, it's happened again. You've wasted another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producers are David, the Cavs of Belleville Green, Carly High Voltage Knicks, and Catherine Frau Blucher, Fenolosa. Our web lackey is Doug the Old Gray Mare, assisted by Connie Pritchard. Our engineer is John Cartman-Parati. Our interns are Ariel Niedermeyer and Kira McKnight. And our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from the Lincolnshire Open Fire Chicken Fryer, Fresh Papaya, and Stolichnaya Lose the Tire, is John Bugsy Lawler. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Margin of Error. Our customer care representative is Heywood Jabuzoff. Our personal makeup artist is Bud Tugley. Our beatnik philosopher is Harry Reasoner. Our staff orthopedist is Denise Hoyt. Our wardrobe advisor is Luke Howard Fitzhugh. Our PowerPoint producer is Boris Tadef. Our director of Puzzler Answer Gift Reception is Donatella Du Bois. Our Russian chauffeur is Peekoff and Dropoff. Our optometric firm is CFI Care. Guest accommodations are provided by the Horseshoe Road Inn. And the head of our working mother support group is Erasmus B. Dragon. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is U. Lewis Dewey, known to the down bundles with legs in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. And remember this, if you do nothing else, don't drive like my brother.
Yeah, don't drive like my brother.
We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 1207, download classic Car Talk episodes, or check out our clothing and CD collections all over at cartalk.com.
Also this week at cartalk.com, do you remember what happened after I taught my son to drive?
I do. He sandwiched your 63 Dodge Dart between a snowplow and an ambulance.
Exactly right. I still get shivers thinking about it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he could have been badly hurt.
No, I mean about the loss of my car.
Oh! Well, we now have a whole area of the website devoted to teenagers learning to drive.
Right, it includes advice for parents on teaching a teen to drive.
And advice for teens on how to deal with crazed parents who are teaching you to drive.
And even a downloadable new driver's contract.
That's the teen driver's area.
On the homepage all this week at cartalk.com.
Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though dogs bury their masters' radios in their backyards whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.